This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. I'm your host, the face of the franchise, Wes from the 904, Duval in the building, baby. And we got some great guys with me, but first, we're going to be talking about some FAMU baseball, some FAMU softball, some basketball, WNBA and NBA, a little bit of NFL offseason stuff. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What's going on, everybody? Mr. J School here, Michael Trim Jr. I'm a winner this weekend.
You are a winner, man.
Yep. From one winner to another, it's your boy JB the King back here with the Playmakers.
It's your boy Maul. I'm back here again with the Playmakers again, guys. Hey, I'm happy to be back.
All right, no, it's your boy Chris, man. From, you know, three winners to another winner.
What that mean?
What did you win?
We beat the Suns, bro.
Oh.
They did.
I didn't even watch that game, bro.
Yeah, who would turn that on?
I'm gonna be honest.
How you boys doing? It's Joshua Bounds representing the 850.
Oh, Lord.
All right, fellas. Well, we know we always got to talk about FAMU, and I heard that these boys want to talk about some baseball because baseball is really popping right now. We're number one in the SWAC for tied for number one in baseball, and we're number one in the SWAC East. We're in the SWAC East for the girls?
Yeah.
Number one in the SWAC East. How do we feel about the baseball and softball seasons, fellas?
The baseball season, so I've been covering them through my documentary this current semester. So haven't been keeping a close eye on them boys, but it's everything that we kind of expected for this team, sitting at 20-17, 15-3 in the SWAC. They just beat Mississippi Valley on a walk-off on Friday, and then they won. I think they swept the entire weekend. Can somebody fact check that for me?
I believe they did, but
I'm pretty sure they won.
Yeah, they swept.
But we knew that this is the second best team, arguably the best team in the SWAC behind Bethune-Cookman, who they lost to last year. So it's really 1A, 1B in the SWAC with Bethune and FAM. So hopefully we can just keep this momentum up as we play them this weekend in a 3-game series from Friday to Sunday. So hopefully, again, we got to show that obviously we're a worthy matchup and that we can compete against Bethune and hopefully win the SWAC in May.
Hey, but you know what? To piggyback off what you guys saying, though, with in regards to baseball and to softball, congratulations to both of them for being number one. Baseball has a really important series coming up. Thursday through Saturday, they're going to be playing against Bethune-Cookman, who is also tied for number one. So this series will definitely determine who sits atop the SWAC, so we need this one.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to keep an eye on that, make sure we bring home some hardware. We fell short in basketball. We're trying to win a SWAC championship in a major sport. Hopefully baseball and softball bring it home. Yep. But let's move on over to the NFL offseason edition. We've been talking a lot of offseason stuff.
It's draft week.
It is draft week. That's correct. But before we get to draft week stuff, we're going to get to trades. Dexter Lawrence, he was traded to the Bengals for their first-round draft pick, the pick number 10. First of all, I want to see how we feel about the trade before we get into too much details.
I don't like the Giants franchise, not one bit, man.
You don't like trading a D tackle for a top 10 pick?
Man, like your main person up front, and then I understand you did get a first round pick, but it's like there's not a lot of Dexter Lawrences that's coming around the NFL. So it's like, and to me, all he asked was for his stint. Y'all probably could have made the money work in a sense.
No. See,
no, they could have.
They definitely could have. But however, when you get a top 10 pick, and what the Giants got back for trading Dexter Lawrence, you reset the timeline. So you get 3 to 4 more years of rookie contract money.
Yep, cheap.
And the guys that are in that range, the Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles,
but they need
David Bailey. I understand that, but I'm not saying there's difference makers that you can get at the tenth pick in this draft. That's all I'm saying.
They got 5 and 10, right?
I mean,
yep, 5 and 10.
Like, yeah,
come on,
I like
that's crazy in this draft.
I like it getting younger for them. It's just to me, it's just like
they only have 20 million in cap space, man. They would have to make something shake to extend them.
Why make your money tighter, especially if you're a team that's arguably you might finish last again in that division?
Nah, they're not.
They're very welcome.
Now, neighbors coming back, I think they might finish above Washington.
I mean, it's possible, but they're not finishing above Washington. But
Washington's
none of the teams are that good.
Yeah, they're
Philly's
all kind of
pretty good.
They're all like
Philly's falling apart.
I'm saying though,
and the Cowboys are going in the right direction.
We gonna talk,
but they could also fall apart. They're the Cowboys.
Yes. The Ravens, though.
I think when I look at the
like,
trade,
what does it have to do with anything?
I was just saying, we're getting off topic. We're getting off topic.
Like Chris, we're looking for analysis here, man.
But go ahead, JB. Well,
I think when we look at the trade, like just straight up, I like it for both sides. Not factoring in any outside like circumstances or what's happened in the offseason so far, I think there's not going to be a player better than Dexter Lawrence at 10. He is an all-pro, probably the second best, if not the best, defense tackle in the league.
Like, yep,
for sure.
He definitely has all the potential in the world, and the Bengals, of course, need defense. And then the Giants having pick 5 and 10, possibly walking out with, like, two Ohio State guys would be crazy for them. But I think if I look at the Bengals, it's like y'all could have still had Trey Henderson and made this trade. You know what I mean? Like, I feel when you factor in the other circumstances, it's like, why did y'all have to do all this? Then when I look at it from the Giants, it didn't seem like the money that Dexter Lawrence got was too crazy. So Dexter just didn't want to be there. And John Harbaugh and all this new stuff coming in the organization, I feel like it's been kind of a disappointment since he's gotten there.
He got paid $28 million.
Yeah.
And that makes him the second highest paid interior D lineman, just behind Chris Jones at 31.5.
Which is about what he
Which
deserves.
Is where he should get.
Yeah,
but he got a... So for... What I don't like about this deal for the Bengals is that it's a one-year deal. And so they signed him to a one-year, $28 million contract.
What's wrong with the one-year deal?
They're gonna have to extend him the next offseason, so they're going to have to and pay him even more money, especially if he has a good season.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to have to let him go. And either way, it doesn't help them that much, because even though their defense is awful, like,
trash. Mm-hmm.
They're not. That is. They still can't protect Joe Burrow, so their offense will never be consistent.
But they're supposed to have a good draft this year.
Okay, so this is an extension.
They lost their good draft. They just lost their first round pick.
I know, but I'm saying you can. Everybody knows you can build. Like, there's gonna be some sneaky offensive line, defensive linemen, like in second, third round. Like, I understand.
I hate late round offensive
linemen. Dexter Lawrence is still under contract.
I agree with
that.
It was
a 1 year extension, by the way. He's not gonna be a free agent.
I understand.
Correct. My bad. Yeah.
I understand both sides of the deal. You know, you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow. You don't want to wait and potentially miss on a prospect, so you trade your pick for a sure thing. Granted, somebody over there made a great point that they still don't have no protection for Joe Burrow. So, getting that defensive lineman in Dexter Lawrence, it helps a need, but it doesn't help the biggest need, and that's protecting your franchise quarterback.
And Dexter Lawrence will be good in the middle. Their edge rushers suck. Their
Correct.
Linebackers suck.
Correct.
Their secondary sucks.
Correct.
So they didn't get that much better.
And that's why I think that's why it's a clear.
Secondary is solid, but
secondary is
a lot of help.
And that's why
it's.
I think.
In the trenches, bro.
I think this is a clear win for the Giants. I think they definitely won this trade.
Absolutely. I think they did. Hands down.
I won't say it's clear.
I mean, of course you don't want to lose. What? He's their best player.
Basically.
Yeah. Pretty much. He is their best player.
He's their best player.
Which is tough.
Yeah, but you're not winning nothing with your interior defensive lineman as your best player.
Yeah, and like he has a crazy like film. If you watch him, he's turned double teams into sacks. Like, he's a very explosive player. He's one of the best D tackles in the league. But D tackle as a value position, I could see, like, you got younger, you got cheaper, you have a top 10 pick. It's not a bad trade for the Giants at all.
Two of them.
Yeah. Okay, so now if you're the Giants though, I don't think they're going D tackle with that team.
No,
absolutely not.
Okay, so in that interior, it's like, where do you go now?
Because
you have a ton of edge rushers.
Yeah,
correct.
All right, but y'all told me before, you can't really just move somebody like that inside.
Right, I understand that. But when you have a guy like John Harbaugh scheming and calling plays on the defense side of the ball, you don't have to worry about who's your defense tackle or like the biggest names on the field, because he's gonna scheme them up and put them in the proper position to succeed.
They probably will. I thought they was gonna move off Thibodeau before. I thought like Dexter.
Yeah, they said they're not trading him.
Yeah, which
right?
I still think is crazy. That man had one good year so far.
I mean, I just expect him to be a rotational edge rusher, in my opinion. And then
rotational?
I think, rotational edge rusher. Because I think in the league, they like to keep their edge rushers fresh. There's not too many every down edge rushers. So, and they're very deep at that position.
Yeah, him, Brian, Abdul,
So rotational edge rusher for sure. And then I think they're going to go.
I think they go tackle. I think they go.
So they have five. They have five and ten, right?
Yeah, let's see what.
I think I had them going Sonny Styles here.
At five, I had them taking Caleb Downs.
Yeah, most people had them Caleb Downs in here.
I thought Caleb Downs was going to go before. I think I had them taking Sonny Styles.
Well, let's redo it now. Who do you have at five now that they have two
Sonny
picks?
Sonny Styles.
I'm going Caleb Downs. If he's available, I'm going Caleb Downs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Downs.
Okay, then who do you have at 10?
Somebody from Ohio State, bro.
Somebody from Ohio State.
Francis Maligawa.
That's what I think.
Interesting.
I think they could double it up if Sonny Styles is still there. Go get him
at
10.
Yeah. Because I still have him available in mind.
They still need a wide receiver. I mean, they can go get Carmen.
I don't think they go that far.
The wide receiver position deep in the draft.
It is.
So I wouldn't reach on a first rounder. I mean, I think Carnell Tate is going to be gone. But if he's available at 10,
I think you got to think about it.
You could take him.
10?
But yeah, I think they double it up on defense.
Maybe the tackle out of Utah. That's where I'll probably go.
Josh, what do you have at 5 and 10?
At 5, I'm still going with Caleb Downs. Then at 10, though, I think this is where the Giants go after an O lineman. So probably, like Chris is saying, either Spencer Fanoh or Caleb Lemieux, his teammate from Utah. Something like that, because you're going to need protection in order to keep Jackson Dart upright.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Jamal?
Downs and Caden.
What?
Is that early, bro?
Yeah.
Brock, that's very early.
That's super Proctor, early.
And it's Proctor, not Protector.
Proctor.
That's very early for Caden Proctor.
Yeah, Caden's not. Yeah. We'll get to our next one.
If that's their guy, that's their guy.
I hope it's
For the Giants, I hope that's not their guy, but.
No.
But, like, what I'm saying, you know, you lose a top talent, but you can scheme up that defensive tackle. You can hopefully get that interior shirt up with just linebackers and scheme. So I would grade this definitely a win for the Giants. But another offseason happenings that's been talked about. It's almost confirmed by Adam Schefter that A.J. Brown will be going to the Patriots after June 1st.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And after June 1st, because his cap hit goes from $40 million to $20 million.
Which is smart by the Eagles and the Patriots.
Very smart. Do we think it's a good fit? What do you think will be traded for him?
They're definitely losing their first round pick.
They're definitely losing their first round pick.
I see a first round pick, and I see
like they have like what pick 31 or something.
Yeah. I see a first and a
second.
Well,
if it's post June 1st, it'll be a 2027 first round pick.
You're right.
I see a first and a second.
First and a second for AJ Brown.
Okay, if it was going to be happening before the draft, I would have said.
What do you mean it's OD?
I would have said it's going to be a
top tier level receiver.
I would have said if it was before the draft.
Go ahead, Trent.
If it was before the draft, I would have said it would have been their first round pick this year, pick 31. But if it's gonna be if it's gonna be future picks,
yep, 2027.
I'm gonna say a second and a third, maybe 2 seconds.
I could see the Patriots like betting on themselves and just giving them their 2027 first because they think they'll be in the playoffs, like a deep playoffs run again. I could see that.
Y'all wouldn't give up this year.
It's gonna be after. Well,
it's
the draft.
Opposed, oh, it's yeah, for cap reasons. Yeah, I mean, it'll be after
all right,
the draft.
So yeah, I give up a
we'll
first and a
whoever
second.
Y'all want.
A first and a second is crazy,
that's
man.
No, 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 no. Brown, bro. You gotta understand. Y'all acting like AJ Brown's a bum.
Nobody says he's a bum.
No, but this
how
is
old is AJ Brown?
But how many times do you see first round picks getting just tossed around? Like
we just saw.
Last person to do it was the Browns, not Browns, Bears for DJ Moore.
Did they give up a first?
He's 28. Like he's still got a good amount of years.
They couldn't have given up a first for DJ.
Yeah, he's 28, but he's reaching the back end. And he's going to want...
He can still be productive.
EJ Moore got traded for a fifth-round pick. Oh, no, for a second-round pick. My bad.
Yeah, was it AJ Brown that I was talking about? That was the other AJ Brown trade, the Titans to the Eagles? Who am I talking about?
AJ Brown, yes, that was for a first-round pick.
And then let's look at his contract, because is he
going to
be...
If it's going down to 20 mil, like, let me see his contract.
Yeah, he's a 3-year, $96 million contract. He signed that in 2024.
So that expires to...
He'll be on the last year of his contract after the trade, so they'll have to extend him.
But here's the thing. That's if you want to extend him, in a sense.
So you're going
to
send a first and keep him for 1 year?
You at least get to see... Here's the thing with the first-round pick. Even though it's valuable, we probably all expect this Patriots team to, not in a sense get back to the Super Bowl, but at least get back to, you know, playoff contention.
That's a you thought.
Contention? Yes, they'll be in contention. I don't know if they'll.
I think this team will.
They're about to get a first place schedule.
I think they.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will, but I still think this team could be. I think they could win their division.
I think with AJ Brown, they might.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like.
I was pushing for this trade. We were talking about it at the trade deadline on the Playmakers from 12:30 to 2 on Saturdays a couple months ago.
Yes, sir. Plug the show.
And I was suggesting for them to trade for A.J. Brown during the trade deadline. So I think this is a great move for them. It makes sense, especially after the deadline. So so the money drops down a little bit? Is that how
basically
that works?
Split in half, right?
It'll be his next year's contract. It'll drop to half, $20 million instead of 40.
I'm excited to see Drake May with a number one wide receiver. Like
MVP Drake.
Oh no.
He literally was second in MVP this year. What are we talking about?
He's not getting back. Hey,
but you know
I
what?
Like it.
Like, why are we hating though? Like, why? Like,
not
Trim.
He had a good season.
I'm confused.
Whatever you're doing next year at this time, I'm going to have you back on the pod. And after he throws for 3,300 yards and like 12 picks and like 30 touchdowns, I'm going to be like, this is how mid he is, man.
I really like it though for Philly in a sense. It's like this problem that you've been having for the past few years. You get rid of it, you basically get to start. You going to get a, you know, fresh air in a sense. Like, and now we can all see, all right, can Jalen Hurts actually throw the ball instead of just force-feeding it to one person? And can Smitty be that number one receiver people think he can be?
I think he can. I think he can,
but I think they're going to realize that they might have to move on from Jalen Hurts. He won't have...
You want
to
move on from him?
No,
I think you'll show him.
I think it's possible.
I think you'll see that they'll need to.
How many Jalen Hurts are there walking around the league?
Not because Jalen Hurts is bad, but I think this season will either expose him or like show that he's that guy.
Like right now,
I feel like it's a make or break season for him.
I don't know about him.
I mean,
he won't have the. Go ahead, Josh.
My fault. But yeah, I hear what you guys are saying. But I think the biggest reason though why Chris, because I have this same feeling, seeing that AJ Brown's in the door, I think this is the Eagles silently telling Jalen Hurts like, look. With A.J. Brown not being here anymore, now is your chance to show us why we really picked you up. Like, Jalen Hurts needs to adjust his playing style. He needs to learn how to throw the ball deep, needs to learn how to run play action. If he's not able to do that over these next two seasons, I can very much see the Eagles saying, yeah, we're going to cut ties with you next as well and move on to another quarterback.
I can't see that getting rid of him. I can't see them getting rid of him.
That doesn't even sound right.
Getting rid of Jalen Hurts? Like, come on, man. Like,
his first couple seasons were not good.
He won a Super Bowl.
That was not his first couple seasons.
I thought we forgot about that, though.
No, we didn't. Can I get the whole take out? I didn't even get to finish my whole sentence. Let me finish the take. His first couple seasons were not good.
Mm-hmm.
He then acquires A.J. Brown. His production goes up.
Mm-hmm.
He now has the Heisman-winning Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown as his wide receiver core.
And he won the championship.
And he had the most talented team in the NFL that we've seen in a long time. The best defense we've seen in a long time.
Yes.
The best receiving core we've seen in a long time. And he won the championship. Almost nothing has changed in this roster between then and now. He's lost a few people. A couple of people on the D-line have rotated out.
And other teams have gotten better around the
O-line's getting older.
O-line has rotated out, but it was still one of the best O-lines in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But can we
and his weapons haven't changed, but his production's dropped.
But all right, let's be real.
He has a new offensive coordinator every year.
So here's the thing, though. You say that about his first couple years, let's have some context. Like, there was nobody over there in Philly, and he was still able to take that team to the playoffs still.
I wouldn't say nobody. What do you mean? Like, when did Devontae Smith get drafted, man? He was there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's it, though.
Like, and the best O-line in the league.
They didn't have the best O-line in the league in 2021.
Bro, they've had the same O-line for almost a decade.
They didn't have the best O-line in 2021. What are you talking about?
Bro, they've had a great O-line for the longest time. They had Jason Kelsey for years. They have Landon Dickerson for years. They've had all these people for years.
They had the greatest O-line.
Huh?
2021, they had the greatest O-line.
They had a good O-line. They always had a top O-line. The Eagles haven't had a bad O-line in years.
Okay.
They went
half the people that were on the Super Bowl in 2017 were still on the team in 2021.
Okay, man.
They went 9-8, by the way.
Because they were not a good team. They didn't have the defense they have now.
So I feel like he was able to take that team to the playoffs, and they lost, but it is what it is in a sense.
I'm just saying that now, we will see him without the best wide receiver court in the league.
And can we not? Whoa. Okay.
What'd you just say?
Bro, there's like two that can compete, bro. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, and then Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and they're all around the same.
And Puka and Devontae Adams.
Puka and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, they're. Okay, you named three teams. What are we talking about?
You said they're the best, though.
They're up there.
Yeah, they're like, if you would have said top five, okay. The best?
So he's had the top five. But he's had it for years. He's had it for 3 years, 4 years.
And he won a chip.
I'm just saying he won't look the same when he's gone. You don't think he'll get worse when A.J. Brown leaves?
I don't know if he'll get worse.
I don't think he'll get worse
when he loses his number one weapon.
I feel like we've seen Jalen Hurts at his worst.
Here's the problem.
Yeah, as a rookie.
Even this past season, I
don't think he'll be as bad as he was this season again.
I think he's going to have a really good year.
I think I have similar stats to what he had this year, probably in the 3,000 to 3,300 range.
3,300 is like not a lot of yards for a quarterback at all. 25 touchdowns and 6 picks.
But here's the thing.
This is not a lot of production.
All right, but here's the thing.
This is not a lot of production.
Here's the thing, though. You can't – his game has never been air raid the ball. It's never been that.
His game has never been throwing the ball?
I'm saying his game –
Is that what you just said to me? This quarterback's game hasn't been throwing the ball?
No, his game has never been, I'm finna go out and throw for 4K. I'm finna go out and throw for 5. Like, that's never been his game.
Correct.
His game has always been, I can get you 3,400. Get you some good, you know, rushing yards on the ground, score some touchdowns.
He won the Super Bowl without throwing 3,000 yards?
It was 2,900.
What do you mean it was 20? He didn't throw for 3,000 yards and he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but look at his quarterback rating.
That's my point. He's never been a guy that throws for 4K.
Look at his passer rating, bro.
You can get a high passer rating from checkdowns. Obviously, they were checkdowns. He threw for 2,900 yards.
Okay, but here's the thing, Wes.
He didn't even throw for 20 touchdowns.
But here's the thing, though.
You forgot. Wasn't that the year that Saquon ran for 2,000 yards?
Exactly. Yes. Like, what are you talking about?
Lamar Jackson threw for many more yards than that, and
Lamar's level's better than Jalen Hurts.
Well, I'm saying it's possible.
Different offenses.
Derrick Henry ran for almost 2,000 yards, and he still passed for over 3,000 yards, over 3,000.
Okay, but here's the thing. We're saying with Jalen Hurts, we can still expect him to put up the same numbers.
Not good numbers.
No.
Why are we making excuses? This is not good numbers.
No, but listen. You're not even looking at the numbers. This is the least amount of completions. I mean, the least amount of attempts that he's thrown since his rookie year. You're not looking at the context of the situation. That's why his numbers are down. What do you mean?
They don't trust him to throw the ball?
They have an elite running back. They're giving him the ball.
He didn't rush for 2,000 yards this year.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the year before that. He passed for 3,000 yards this year. You're talking about the season that he won the Super Bowl.
Why is 3,000 like good?
3,000 is not good. 3,000 is not productive at all.
3,000 is like 20 points per game in the NBA, just for context.
No, it's not. It's like 17.
Doing that.
Let me go look.
It's like 15. This is like a Rajon Rondo season, bro.
Any year that he threw for 2,900 yards, he also had 14 touchdowns on the ground and ran.
Bro, no one cares about that tush push, bro. I'm so like, please do not bring it. Yes, it does.
That's 33 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
Do you care that Jamal Williams scored 22 touchdowns one season?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you don't.
That's impressive.
It's part of the
offense. You got him on the 1 yard line.
It's part of the offense. It doesn't matter.
He still scored.
All right, bro. What's the name?
Anybody can score, is what I'm saying. Anybody can score from the one. Jamal Williams did it. Jalen Hurts did it. No, getting pushed into the end zone does nothing for me.
All right.
I'm getting tired of this conversation.
It's not productive.
He gave him a ring. I'm just saying that.
Why is it not productive if he's getting production? Like, I'm saying, like,
it's not because of him. His 1 yard
is
touchdown.
Is he not the person that is getting accounted for the touchdown?
You do know they did.
No
that
one cares.
Guys, we can admit that Jalen Hurts is one of the strongest quarterbacks in the league, right?
Last season was not a good season for Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, in this season, he won the Super Bowl. He had a terrible production wide season.
You literally said he can do the same thing. Do you know he did in the playoffs? Last season, he wasn't good.
When?
Do you know he did in the playoffs?
What did he do in the playoffs?
He won a Super Bowl.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. How many times do I have to keep bringing up this comparison? No, but Trent Dilfer did.
That's all I need to hear.
No, but JB, I'm saying is, again, when I look at Jalen Hurts, I'm like, okay, we already know what range you're in. You're in the 10 to 15 range.
No, he's not.
He's in the 15 to 20 range.
No, he's not.
No, he's in the 10 to 15.
He's one of the 6 to 12 best quarterbacks in the sport.
6 to 12 is low-key crazy. I ain't going to lie.
6, okay. You cannot argue me he's top 10.
10 to 15.
Yes, I can.
10 to 15, cannot. He's in that range. I'm like, okay, I don't expect you to be on the same level as a guy like Lamar or Josh Allen. But again, I expect you to put up decent production to get your team.
I like winning.
Okay, is that good enough without A.J. Brown, without Super Saiyan Saquon Barkley?
Yes. We will see. Because, again, I think they're going to probably draft – when they get rid of A.J. Brown, I feel like they're going to draft a receiver just because they know A.J. is going to be gone.
We will see is not an analysis answer. We will see is not doing it for me.
What do we see about Sam Darnold? Didn't we say we will see what happens in Seattle?
And he's a winner.
No, I said I think he'd be productive.
And you don't think Jalen Hurts can be productive then?
No!
All right.
That's what I just... Because he has never been productive. By stats, he has never been productive.
3,800
yards.
3,800
yards, 23
touchdowns.
It's crazy.
Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
14-1, that's not productive.
3,800 yards, but he threw 23 touchdowns, bro.
How many rushing touchdowns he had?
No one cares about the touchdowns.
Yes, we do!
He threw 15 interceptions that season.
And he had 13 rushing touchdowns.
No one cares about the touch push. You can
see,
assign those to Kenneth Gainwell.
See, this is what I'm talking about. As soon as we bring up something, now, but we don't care about it.
Oh, my word.
Listen, this brings us to our next segment, Reload or Rebuild.
Gracious, man.
Hey, man, I'm doing a segue. This brings us.
I don't know who you. All right.
See how my segue got interrupted
again?
Bro. This brings us to our next segment, Reload or Rebuild. We're going to be finishing off the draft, the last bit of the first round. Everybody's got their mock draft pulled up. We got the Texans. Who do y'all have them with their first pick in the draft?
Caden Proctor.
Caden Proctor. I like it.
And he helped badly.
You said T.J. Parker, Trump?
T.J. Parker, dang. Ooh,
that's a little bit of a fall for T.J. Parker.
Nah. I think this is where he probably was going to go.
Okay. Apparently, they got T.J. Parker going like either late into the first round or early second round pick.
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all got them drafting defense?
Yeah, I got
I got him getting O-line. I got him getting O-line.
Yeah. T.J. Parker is an interesting pick.
I got him going O-line.
Honestly,
I don't need him doing defense. That doesn't need to be touched.
Well, yeah, whatever O-line is left, bro.
Actually, yeah, because they re-signed old boy Anderson. So, yeah, they don't really need defense. All they need is...
And they got Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, they need an offensive lineman to protect... Oh, boy.
Even though he's going to be mid again next year.
C.J. Stroud, bro.
See, look, he's going to be mid again next year.
Come on, bro.
C.J. I said, okay, y'all slander Bryce Young. Just watch what C.J. Stroud will do in the next few years.
Chris, you just predict everything, don't you?
No. I ain't predict it, but I've always said Bryce Young is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
He's not.
Bryce Young's better than C.J. Stroud, but C.J. Stroud's in a better situation.
No, he's not.
How is he not?
He's objectively in a worse situation because he's spending most of the season on his back.
Who?
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
What about Bryce Young?
I mean,
he gets sacked much less. You can just look it up.
Who's got better weapons?
C.J. Stroud had like the best rookie season of all time.
Who's got better weapons? Who's got a fantastic defense to save him all the time?
Sure, he's a great defense, but the Panthers also has a good defense.
Fourth quarter. Bryce Young plays good for two quarters a game, max.
Bro, Bryce Young is better than I don't care.
Panthers also have a good defense. They force a lot of turnovers.
It's not the Texans defense, though.
It's correct.
Man.
It's not the Texans defense, but you act like he has trash back there.
I'm not saying it's trash, but again.
They beat the Rams with
it. Did we not see that defense bail him out against the Steelers? Did we not see that defense
almost bail
him out against
season.
The Patriots?
Nobody was saying that CJ is good last season.
I was going to say that he's really disappointed me. His picks in that playoff game were unacceptable. His warm-up where he throws the basketball.
Yeah, cut it out right now.
You can't do that when you're throwing that many
sit
picks.
Sit down somewhere.
Like, I get it. You're just trying to get warmed up. You're just trying to get in the flow. Like, I understand it. It's more about your mental and just getting your body right. But, like, I can't see that and then see you throw punts with your arm.
So I got a question then. So
what's
since
up,
y'all
man?
Just slandered Jalen Hurts, y'all going to do the same thing for C.J. Stroud? If he is mid and doesn't get it done again for the next couple years?
Oh, if he doesn't, if he's bad again next year, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving him a year.
Yeah, no one has ever said that.
Okay. I just want to see y'all can be consistent. Okay.
Yeah, no one ever said would did
shout out C.J. though.
Yeah, it didn't have a good season.
I ain't saying shout out.
Move on to the Chargers?
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's who y'all got.
Oh, man.
This mock draft say Kaden McDonald. No way he falls this far.
Yeah, I'm going with... I think this is where I'm picking... Wait, it's the Chargers.
Chargers.
It,
no, the Chiefs.
It says Chiefs on here.
It's the Chiefs.
It says Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs from L.A. Yeah, they have L.A.'s pick. Hey, man.
Oh, Chiefs
I'm about to say,
LA.
I see it on the rundown. Oh. Okay.
Hey, you know what?
Dang.
I'll start off here. This is where, honestly, you got to go with Avion Terrell here.
You got him dropping that low?
On the board?
Remember his injury, though. That
I don't care. Like, look,
right, Chris.
unless a team is going to do what the Lions did. Unless a team is going to do what the Lions did when we got Jahmyr Gibbs and let him actually rest, there's no point in him being drafted that high.
Avion Terrell's falling to 29. There's no way I just heard that.
Hey, man, sometimes people fall. Like, there's been lots of draft slides. I wouldn't put it past.
Every year.
I wouldn't put it past GMs, but I wouldn't have him mocked there. I definitely see him off the board.
All right, bro. Then. Okay. You know what?
What do y'all have?
No. Stand by your pick.
Stand by my pick. Okay.
And this mock draft, I see Colton Hood from Tennessee.
Oh, you got him falling that low, too?
No, I had Hood going to
Hood
what's
going
called,
like 20,
Dallas.
Yeah, I had Hood going like 22. 21, something like that.
Chiefs got wide receiver here, do they not?
No.
Their wide receiver core is so crowded.
Their wide receiver core is okay. Like, I don't think you need
a bunch of mid?
It's not good, but it's crowded. You can't just keep drafting young receivers. Somebody's got to develop.
Yeah, you're paying Rashid a lot of money.
Yeah, somebody's got to develop. And you just can't keep signing people. It's not going to work because no one will develop.
You gotta.
I don't know. I kind of like Omar Cooper, bro.
They got to replace McDuffie.
I had him going already.
Yeah, I kind of like Omar Cooper.
I think I'm gonna go with the old lineman from Arizona State.
Trim out for the Chiefs at 29.
I got him taking Blake Miller, tackle from Clemson.
Wow, interesting. Okay,
I like that. And they got rid of Jawan Taylor. Yeah, I like that.
I told y'all, I'm like a scout with this stuff. Like, I be knowing
who I'm going with.
Hey, we'll see you on Thursday.
Oh yeah, make sure y'all tap. Are we doing something? Can I promote that?
Are we doing something?
Yeah.
That's a Jalen Scott question.
I think we're going to be at Momo's. Live stream or something.
Yeah.
Wait, what day is that actually?
Thursday. At what time?
When the draft starts.
7.
Idiot. Hey, cool out over there, man.
Sorry, bro.
Okay, Dolphins at 30. This is their pick from Denver.
Yeah.
T.J. Parker.
Kevin Concepcion.
TJ Parker?
Yeah, I'm going TJ Parker.
Concepcion?
I have Concepcion already going to the Bills.
I think, that's where I am going to.
I might take Omar Cooper here.
I'm taking TJ Parker.
But the Dolphins suck.
Hey, why does it say Dolphins second pick?
It is their second pick.
Why we say the Broncos? So this is the Dolphins?
Yeah. Does it say the Broncos on the right now?
No, it says the Dolphins. But
it's from the Broncos.
Yeah, I think
it's for Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
So it's the Dolphins pick.
Yes. The Dolphins.
I'm taking the Dolphins to pick Kevin Concepcion.
Okay.
I'm taking a
Dolphins
TJ Parker.
Might be the worst.
I got TJ Parker.
The Dolphins are in full blow it up mode.
And it's so crazy.
Are you sure about?
I think they're going to be really competitive next year.
That's all.
I can see them winning 6 or 7 games.
Can you name me two of their
wide
receivers?
That's not competitive though. Then
that is competitive.
Can you name me two of their wide receivers?
They'll be in the race until about mid December.
Can you name me two of their wide receivers?
Don't they have Parker Washington?
The wide receivers are a bunch of nobodies, guys.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Nah, I'm going with.
And they have no O line, and their defense sucks.
I wanted to go O line, but it's like, man, bro, that team need everything except running back.
Tutu Atwell is one of their wide receivers.
Yes, sir. Big dirty man.
Next pick, this Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots at 31.
Oh, I got. Hey,
this is where Casey, this is tough too.
I got you.
Yeah, now
this is where Casey Concepcion goes.
But they're about to get AJ Brown.
You got him falling that low?
They're about to get AJ Brown though.
It doesn't matter if you're about to get AJ Brown. You need another one. Stephon Diggs is not good.
You're not looking
Stephon Diggs is good.
He's trash.
You got Kayshawn Booty. So you're gonna have Kayshawn
Booty. Passionate you've ever been about anything.
Wait, who's trash? Who is?
He said Stephon
Diggs has not been good ever since he left Minnesota, and I stand by that.
No.
You know how long ago Minnesota was?
Josh, that's not a great take.
Do you know Stephon Diggs in 2020 was the best receiver in football?
Yeah, this is going on Instagram, buddy.
Okay, bet.
All right, I got the Patriots.
You
got
to make sure it goes on Instagram.
I got the Patriots taking Evan McNeil, Warren from Toledo.
What does this team need, bro?
I don't know.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Is this team really
I don't know
like,
who they take if I'm just being honest.
I guess I'll go to the other tackle from Utah, Caleb Loomer.
You're not going yet?
I am going yet.
Linemen don't usually slide this late, like unless they, you know.
I already have
him. I ain't really have him going yet.
Caden Proctor going to slide. He's trash.
Garbage. Josh, just because you were so passionate about it, I kind of want to circle back. So he had an all-pro 1,500-yard season on the Buffalo.
What I meant to say was he was good
with the Bills and with Minnesota, but other than that, he's just not been productive for real. Like, you asked to leave the Bills.
Yep.
And then after you leave the Bills, your production has been sliding a little bit. Like,
He only played eight games.
Contact doesn't matter.
He went to the Super Bowl.
The man literally went to Houston and got hurt. What else do you want him to do about that?
Yeah, and then he had another 1,000-yard season.
I'm not blaming him getting hurt. I'm not blaming that, all right? I'll give him a slap for that.
And he had a K with the Patriots.
But with the Patriots, so this, again,
Drake May
he was about
2 yards a game.
Yeah, but still, he was supposed to be like a safety blanket, if you will, for Drake May, and he just wasn't there. He was there, but he wasn't really a threat, if you will. Like,
so what I'm hearing is you got a beef with Stephon Diggs, man. What's your beef with Stephon Diggs? Because he's been a problem off the field for sure, but like nothing but productive except the season he got injured.
Hall of Fame wide receiver right there.
No, it's not. But
I would not say that at all.
He just has never been one of my favorite wide receivers in the league.
Why not though? I don't like the man for just one reason.
For that Minneapolis miracle?
Yes, Minneapolis miracle.
Oh, that was a beautiful play.
Besides that, look, that was beautiful. The man got my respect.
Was that Chauncey who can't tackle?
No, that wasn't. That wasn't Chauncey. I'll tell you who that is. That was Marcus Williams who couldn't tackle.
We haven't talked about NBA yet.
We're only 35 minutes in, though.
Well, for real? Let's get to Seahawks.
I'm looking at 451, so I'm thinking.
Yeah. No, we're going over. It's cool.
My fault.
Let's talk about the Seahawks at 32, Super Bowl winners. Who do they need?
I got them taking Jadarian Price.
Woo! I love that pick.
Okay.
That's going to be a Jadarian nice Price. Pick
that's nice.
Price Trent? Or Mike Washington.
They do need
a replacement.
Yeah, they need.
They lost a lot, though.
Yeah. Did they really lose a lot?
Yeah, they lost. All defensive backs, right?
They still got all their DBs.
Kobe. Nah, they lost.
No, they lost no, one. No, no, who'd they lose?
I'm about to pull Kobe Bryant. And then, I forgot what the other dude's name was. Dang, it started with a T.
They lost Kenneth Tariq Walker.
Yeah.
They lost Kobe Bryant. They did lose Woolen. Mm-hmm. They lost Woolen. Yeah.
No, yeah, nah.
I'm still going running back. I think that defense will be fine, though.
Although I'm going running back, mock drafts have been picking up Hood here from Tennessee.
I did not have Hood going this low.
Good. Neither did I, like. I thought Hood would definitely be picked up early. That's why I'm sick with my running back.
I don't remember the name of their left guard, but he received lots of hate. Y'all don't think they go O-lineman? Their left guard was one of the
That O-line was pretty decent.
Yeah, but it was specifically their left guard that received a lot of hate. I saw him do a lot of bad reps. I forgot his name. Shout out, bro. My bad.
Anthony Bradford.
Yeah, he was bad.
Good look, Shamar.
Trim, did you have a pick?
I got him taking Cassius Howell. Edge from Texas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. That's not bad. It's hard to see what you need to replace when you just won the Super Bowl and lots of people left.
Running back. That's the only thing they really, like, lost. That's glaring for real.
And I thought about, you know, reaching, but it's like, it's going to be so many running backs in the draft in the second and third round. No need to reach for it.
Yeah, I feel that.
All right, fellas. Well, that's the NFL segment. We're going to talk about some WNBA before we get to the NBA. The most pressing thing is that the GOAT, Asia Wilson, signed the first Supermax in WNBA. Well, not the first one, but with the new CBA and the new money situation.
Yeah.
They got new money.
They got that bag.
$5 million over 3 years.
Congratulations to stay with the women.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
It was a long time coming.
They finally make more money than Josh Okogie.
Make more money than us. That's all we really need to know.
Way more.
So much more than us.
Indeed.
And soon after, Aaliyah Boston for the Fever signed a 4-year, $6.3 million, which will make her the richest by total value.
Shout out to Aaliyah Boston. While Asia. She had a great season.
Asia still has yearly.
Now Boston makes more than Landry Shamet. Congrats.
It's about time.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, clap it up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sure more maxes and super maxes will come. Shout out
Caitlin
to WNBA.
Caitlin Clark's gonna be the first one to get double digit million.
Absolutely, Caitlin Clark.
Gonna be the first one to get double digit million.
Caitlin Clark gonna reset the market is nuts.
Reset the market.
Caitlin Clark. I'm telling you, just watch, bro. It's gonna be like a 5-year, $12 million, bro. Just watch.
Like I said, these younger players are definitely going to only prove more of the point, the reason why they deserve to be paid.
Shout
out
WNBA draft, man. Indeed. It was amazing.
The Angel Reese contract, that's going to be mostly for that McDonald's meal.
Oh, man.
All right, let's get to this segment they all been waiting on.
Yeah. The meat and potatoes, what we all been waiting on. The WNBA has been great, been developing. The draft was recently, but now we're going over to the NBA. The playoffs are happening. It's on right now.
It's been a great
We're
going to
recap the first game of the first round. You know, the Magic made it out of the play-in.
Which game are we starting with?
I'm introing it right now.
We got a lot to talk about.
Okay, how about this? Let's just start with the Magic. Everybody get our...
No, we definitely say the best for last. Y'all want to get it out of the way. No, y'all going to sit here. Y'all going to sit here, wait, and take it.
Chill out.
So that'll be the last one we talk about.
And everybody, we have met our two editors for the week.
Nah. I ain't touching it.
I don't know about that.
All right. Let's talk about.
We gotta acknowledge the play-in.
Of course.
No, we don't need to talk.
No, we gotta talk about the teams that got
in. Let's talk about the playing team first.
Shout out Denny. He had a great game.
He had an amazing game. Straight rim running.
Shout out to the Hornets, man. It was a good season until they got popped. So yeah, shout out to them.
It was karma for hurting Bam.
Hey, Big Brother handled business.
Okay. Like I said, the Steelers of the NBA, Steelers. The Miami Heat, you know, they got the invitational and it got bounced.
Hey, let's talk about
we got the all-time leading scorer in the play-in, bro.
Here you go.
We got the Tyler Hero all-time leading scorer in the play-in, man. I don't know why we're talking about like that. Anyways,
I feel like we got to talk about we got to talk about the real games. You know, Cavs beat the Raptors on Saturday.
Let's recap the games, man.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what matters
on the Cavs.
Let me just say one thing about the play-in. The Clippers are now the worst. They have the worst chance to ever like build a championship ever. that was a failed dynasty they tried to create.
Shout out OKC.
Go ahead, JB. Go ahead, JB.
Quick, because Cavs Raptors was such a massacre, man. We don't even got to stay on it for too long. The Raptors just can't keep up with Cavs offensively. We just dominated them in every aspect. James Harden had a great game. I know that, you know, he's a notorious playoff flopper, whatever. He is able to facilitate the offense way better than Darius Garland ever could. The way that the offense moves, our rotations are a lot better. People are hustling on defense. Shout out Keon Ellis getting some big steals from us. And we're going to win it all.
Okay. It all?
Stop
all
the cap. All right,
let's just get to the next
one.
Let's just get to the next game.
All right, let's go over the ones that were pretty just one-sided, man. Celtics, Sixers, some great belts.
I said on Saturday with the Playmakers Live Show 12:32, this is going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
You might be right. I still think Maxi can get one, but they played
it. Maxi did everything he really could, and they're not even coming close with that team.
Thunder Suns, some more belts.
Oh, let me just get this off real quick.
30 seconds.
What is there to say?
I'm saying, like, dude, you're like, that's weird. Like, y'all are like literally the best team in the NBA. There's nothing you can say about this.
Hey, I'm just saying though, like what Dre say, going back to back.
No,
man,
you're
it's
not.
So easy.
Whoa, you are not going back to back.
Too soon to say.
You know, Dylan Brooks can talk all he wants to. He'll be sitting at home doing whatever he does. But it's a great.
I'm gonna just be honest. I'm not watching the Thunder to the conference finals.
Why?
Though. Because y'all are making it to the conference finals guaranteed. Look at who you're gonna play: the Rockets or the Lakers.
Hey, man.
Let's just be for real.
Hey man, we gonna.
My bad.
Look, Kennard had 27.
Right, let's get to the Spurs game. I actually watched that game.
Spurs game was really good.
Listen, y'all talk about Jokic. No, that man Wimby's going to ruin the league.
He made five threes?
He made five. I mean, all five of those threes were crazy.
Bro, did y'all see that fadeaway three that he made? Just running straight down.
Fading out of bounds?
Yes.
Yeah, bro, I ain't going to lie. He too big for that, bro.
He too big for that. I ain't going to lie. Shout out the Spurs crowd. Look at them being color coordinated.
I love that. Yeah, thank you for shouting that out. I love that.
Shout out to be a color coordinator. I said, it's hard, the best
colorway in the league. I don't care what
anyone
says.
They fans definitely did their thing.
Bro, I was thinking about it. I was like, some of these playoff series don't got any aura like the way they did back in the day.
Our fans did it last year with the shirts. Their fans did it with the colors.
And then I see that, and I'm like, the Spurs are doing it right in San Antonio, man.
They got cargo going on in San Antonio.
That man Wimby, that.
I think looking at this game, looking back, Drew Holiday kind of disappointed me a little bit. A
little bit.
I expected him to be that veteran presence that maybe, you know, took a game from the Spurs, maybe.
Yeah, I feel that.
Denny was impressive.
He still got 30, 10, and 5. Denny got night.
And he I'm thinking, a slow third.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, you're going against Wimby. He's not going to be able to do all that. But he had a good game. But the Spurs are just a deep team, bro.
Yeah, because like
Bryant didn't even play yesterday.
The way I feel like the best way to go about beating the Spurs is like when Wemby's off the court, you got to score. And Devin Vassell was killing when Wemby was off the court.
They had it within five when Wemby was on the bench, and then Vassell hit two big threes.
Two big threes
to 11.
But
it got out of hand from there.
I won't lie though. First and foremost, of course, gotta clap it up for the Spurs because this was a great game. Only thing now, Spurs just can't let their foot off the gas. They have to keep going. Like, you can't just expect for the Portland Trail Blazers to just simply give up. Got to keep the foot on the gas. On top of that, everyone else just needs to continue to elevate their play.
Devon Castle was amazing.
He was. And then the other thing is, they got to capitalize when Wimby is off the floor. It shouldn't be that the minute that Wimby gets off the floor, all of a sudden,
they did. Luke Kornet he gave some great minutes.
Luke Kornet was putting up buckets, man.
But what I'm saying is, moving forward, though, this needs to continue moving forward.
It'll continue.
And then
that man Wimby, his deep, like,
bro, he can play defense.
When he's in the paint, bro, like, I'm telling you, it's like everybody probably down there wants to travel because they don't want to put a shot up.
But now we got to go Nuggets Timberwolves. We got
to get to that's the best series of the first round.
For sure.
All I can say
is I do have the Timberwolves still winning in 7.
Man, look, let me tell you something about that game though. Bro,
Anthony Edwards is hurt, guys. Like,
yeah, I ain't gonna lie. He's hurt. JB, you was low key a little bit right. He looked a little bit.
He looked a little bit
more hurt than I thought he would.
Yeah, but I won't lie.
They need a playmaker though. I ain't gonna lie. That offense is bad.
They have no one else, honestly, who's producing offensively for real. Like DiVincenzo is trying to.
He was okay.
He is. DiVincenzo right now is like their best bet, if you will. Gobert did not do his job.
Gobert had a phenomenal game.
Gobert had a great
game.
He did, but he didn't.
How did he not?
He didn't.
He did all he could against Jokic.
He did, but the problem was the minute that Jokic started heating up, you know, he was too late in the rotation to get a handle.
Nobody in NBA history is stopping when he gets hot, though. Like, Rudy, I have to give Rudy his credit. He did all he really could.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Randall is going back to his old way, sadly, when he was with the Knicks.
Yeah, he's going to have to be a difference maker. That was bad from him.
So, what I really want to know, who do you have winning the series? Chris said in 7, the Timberwolves, even though Ant's hurt.
Yeah, I can't see. By game 4.
I think, I think that'd be too late by then. I think it'll be a momentum. I think it'll be 2-1, and then I think at most I see the series going to 6 games.
Dang, really?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was a 7-game guy, but I might go. But then again, like, the Timberwolves were still in this game. They very well could have won this game.
They lost by 11, like, but it was competitive.
Yeah. They had their runs.
I still think it's going to go 7, but I got the Nuggets, man.
I will say, though, Timberwolves need this game tonight. They really do. I don't think you really want to go back home down 0-2 with your best player not 100%. Really.
Yeah.
I think you need to at least steal this one.
Yeah, stealing one away would definitely be helpful. I don't think the Timberwolves got it. They just didn't go their way this season. Ant getting hurt late.
Missing Cat, really. I didn't think missing Cat this much would, like, affect them.
What do you mean missing Cat? They went to two Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. I know, but I'm saying, like, against the Nuggets, like, I didn't think, like...
Cat would have got fried.
Cat was one of the main reasons
they really just need...
No.
They really just need another ball handler next to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, Mike Conley's getting old.
And have Dante and Ayo Dosunmu be your backup guards.
Conley's a cone.
Mike Conley is a cone on defense.
No, they definitely play good.
But the man is old,
though.
The man is old.
Indeed.
And where was the Naz Reid, like, spark plug off the bench?
Naz Reid is just nowhere.
He's had a down year.
Yeah, he's had a bad year this year.
Knicks Hawks.
Jalen Brunson's a problem, bro.
Nah, but everybody. People were here talking about the Hawks are gonna.
You know,
gonna
be
a problem.
I had the Knicks
winning
in 5.
Fellas, one at a time.
Oh, my fault.
I said the Hawks would win this series, and I still think they can win the series.
You're standing on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand on my pick. However, Jalen Brunson's a problem.
Brunson, like 8 minutes, I said, yeah, this is going to get out of hand too quick for him, bro.
Look, Josh Hart is a prop. 14 rebounds?
Josh Hart always does that.
Yeah, man. I'm sticking to my picks. The Knicks might get out of here in 5.
I did say in 5 games.
I think
6.
The talks about, like, Brunson is one of the most disrespected superstars in the league.
Absolutely.
Really? Every time that he gets in the playoffs, he rises up his game, bro.
And the whole time people are like, he can't guard.
He doesn't score right. He can't guard.
That man at 5'11 is
He's going in the post and posting you up and hitting a fadeaway.
Yeah, man.
I noticed it's an unfair conversation. But I think this current version of Jalen Brown is better than peak Isaiah Thomas.
Whoa,
Celtics?
I agree.
It's a little unfair. I think it's a little unfair, but I think the longevity that we've seen from Brunson, from his time with the Mavs to, what, 3-4 seasons in the playoffs with the Knicks, I think he's a better basketball player.
I definitely agree.
I mean, yeah, because Isaiah Thomas's peak was so short. It was a year and a half, 2 years.
He got hurt.
But he also was, like, MVP consideration.
Yeah, like, Jalen Brunson's been an MVP talk for the past.
Jalen Brunson.
Has he?
A little bit. In and out.
He's been in, like, that 6-8 range, in a sense.
Listen, Knicks at 5.
Yeah, I got a Knicks at 5.
Yeah, Knicks
at 5. Even though I will say, shout out Jalen Johnson. That man is a problem, though.
A great game. A great game was the Lakers-Rockets. I liked watching it.
I just want to say one thing, though, when it comes to that series.
Yeah?
That Rockets team, bro, they stink. Yeah. They stink.
They can't shoot.
Now, here's the thing. KD comes back tonight. Tomorrow? We'll see how it looks.
Tomorrow?
Like, he's guaranteed playing? Like, confirmed?
Yeah, I didn't see a guarantee. I saw, like, he'd probably be back.
I would hope.
You would hope.
We don't do the hopes, man. We're journalists.
I pray to God he come back soon
because it will be too old going back to Houston if he doesn't.
Let me tell you something. Like, that game, we saw exactly what, honestly, I expect to see.
I did.
LeBron James, here's the reason why.
That's why he's the GOAT.
You got to understand. LeBron understands that he's getting older now. And because of that, he's not going to be able to just simply go out there and be the main scoring option. So what did he do? He turned to Magic Johnson, and he was getting his teammates involved early. Shout out to Luke Kennard for popping off.
Yes,
they could not guard that man.
That man could not miss.
Five for five.
Five for five. In a playoff
game. And then he looked comfortable out there as well. Bro. I mean, we saw him going into the paint, getting jump shots, getting tough layups, and then
they don't have a
just floating to the three-point line and just letting it fly.
That is exactly what I wanted from Gabe Vincent when he came to L.A.
That was a steal getting Kennard for Gabe Vincent. Sangoon, pack your bags, bro. You're about to be out of Houston, bro.
Sangoon is not dirt, bro.
He is dirt. Shout out DeAndre Ayton, though. DeAndre Ayton actually looked like he wanted to play defense.
But he needs to continue this the rest of the way through. It can't just be one game.
Don't put Jackson Hayes back out there. I saw Jackson Hayes fall for the same two pump fakes by Sangoon.
Jumping
two times in a row.
The slowest pump fake in the league. I'm talking about a turtle pump fake, basically.
LeBron was literally the best player on the court.
He was.
Like,
I know Luke Kennard popped off, but the stats don't even show.
Yeah, 8 assists in the first quarter.
The stats don't even show how impactful he was. And also, I want to shout out J.J. Redick.
I think he drew up plays
for Luke Kennard. It wasn't like Luke Kennard was just getting some kickouts corner. No, like he was actually hooping. I think the Rockets, you look back at that trade for KD. You gave up Jalen Green, you gave up Dylan Brooks. And I feel like both of those guys will be really, really impactful in this series. But they got it. I'm not convinced with this team at all. Like, with any of their young pieces, like, I know they're talented, but Reed Shepard went 6 for 20. You know what I mean? Yeah. Jabari Smith, 5 for 14. And, like, I know they're young, but at some point, I got to see y'all show out.
Another shout out to J.J. Redick in the defense because they made them shoot the ball. And they can't. They cannot shoot the ball. All them corner threes they put up and a lot of air and a lot of the side of the backboard and a lot of weird rent. Like, they wasn't even close.
They shot 38% from the field.
0 for 1 from 3. 3 for 9. 0 for 2. 1 for 2. 5 for 14. I ain't gonna lie, it's bad.
Torrey Eason had a great game.
Y'all let Reed Shepard get off 20 shots and 14 threes, and he only shot 30 and 35% respectively.
Nobody else was taking the shots. You're gonna sweep them.
To me, that whole Lakers starting, like Luke Kennard, great game. Marcus Smart, to me, his stats won't show. He was very
defensive
impactful.
Mastermind.
Defensive in his leadership. Like, DeAndre Ayton almost had 20 and 12.
And Marcus Smart had 8 assists.
Exactly.
Rui
did exactly what we expected him to do, just get to his spots and knock down some shots.
Yeah, like, this Lakers team is doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And even if KD comes back, I don't think it changes anything.
No, I think it does. That's not true,
because their hot half-court offense doubles, like, just with KD.
True,
like,
but at the same time, though.
And Josh Okogie will not be starting. Like.
True, but what we saw, right? 9 times out of 10, all we're going to do is double up KD when he gets past half court. It's going to force him to cause turnovers, and then Lakers are just going to be out and running. Now, of course, with KD being on the floor, yes, that definitely does change the scoring dynamic because KD is not going to be buns. Like, let's be honest. If KD doesn't
score, bro. He might have another Celtics series like he did.
Look, if KD has another Celtics series, I will be hurt. Because I want him and LeBron to battle it out for real.
I think we can't be too reactionary because the Lakers, every single one of their players played amazing. And that just can't. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen every game in the series.
It can. You've seen the Heat play.
We'll see when they.
What you mean, bro?
I still have Lakers in five.
You're right.
Lakers
Lakers in five.
Dude.
Hey, chill out. We are not Shannon Sharp, bro.
Like, stop it. But JB made a good point. The Lakers. They shot 61% from the field.
They
played a great game.
However,
I don't mess with Shannon anymore.
What
will supplement that is when AR and Luka come back. Yes, the role players won't play as good at this series, but Luka will come back in the series. When he comes back, that'll supplement it. They'll play back to their regular role player selves, and they maybe still shoot at a nice, decent clip. But Luka is also going to give you 35 points. So it's like,
if Luka comes back, it's a
problem. I did say Luka could come back. If Bron could get this 2-1, I did say Luka could come back game four, game five to at least win the series for him and let him go to
And I was very worried as LeBron being the number one option, maybe he would, like, out-tire himself or do so much where he would be, like, kind of liable later.
Yeah,
like,
he was
low-key chilling.
He could have low-key played three more games.
Yeah, bro, he was vibing, bro.
LeBron was like, let me swing the rock. And
LeBron.
Swinging a rock, making all the right. And every shot that he took, like, it was a great shot for him.
That assist that he had early in the game, too, Rui. Yeah, that wraparound.
That was crazy.
Boy.
All right, let me give you guys this question. Luka comes back. They win the series in six, let's say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's it look like against the Thunder?
They are getting kicked out of there in five games.
They're getting kicked out of there in five games.
It's a seven-game series.
No, it is a seven-game series.
It could be.
It's six or seven games.
Yeah, it's not five. It's definitely not five. I ain't going to lie.
I mean, they've been playing great.
It's five games because of one thing. Luka, you can't hide Luka against us. We're going at him every single possession.
That's not even realistic, though.
Who?
You're not going to go at him every possession. It's going to be other players or even other, like, schemes that you're going to have. Y'all not going to go at Luka every single play.
I'm just saying, they don't have
Luka's not going to Shea, bro.
They don't have a defense. Besides Marcus Smart, like, we could go at everybody else. Like, we can go at anybody
Go at Bron?
What are you talking about? They got Bronny James, bro.
I messed with Bron, but it's like, Bron, I ain't going to lie. We finna make you look like you 40-something, bro. Like, hey, come out here and come guard J-Dub on the wing, bro.
We will see.
All right, well, we've been saving it for last. All right.
Let me just say, I'll say one thing and I'll let them cook. Shout out Wendell Carter Jr. You had a great game. Shout Jamal Trim, y'all got it.
You want to go first? Hey,
shout out PB had a J this time.
Hey, come Jamal on. Trim, y'all got it, man. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jamal.
Jamal Trim and Josh, let's go.
Look, they was talking crazy on my team on the playmakers. They tried to skip over them, you know.
Jamal, talking to the mic.
Yo, oh, my fault. I'm too far away, bro. Yo, they said the Pistons are the scariest team in the Eastern Conference. Can you believe that? We don't even belong at the AC, bro. We don't belong at the AC.
Who said Paolo they were the scariest team?
I did say they were the scariest team in the East.
Mind you, they've been talking crazy on Paolo since that first game in the play-in. Paolo can shoot now. Paolo got it all together. Yo, it's Cade and them. It's just Cade out there. People don't acknowledge the rest of them, bro. Yo, I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna front with you. The Pistons might be cooked if they don't get together this next game.
Trim?
Trim, go ahead.
The Pistons definitely need to win game two. Because if not, they're going to go back to Orlando, down 0-2. Magic are in firm control of home court advantage for the rest of the series. Now, as far as the game, Paolo Banchero had a great game. Obviously, Cade had 40, but Paolo scored 23 points, 9 rebounds, and got the win. Mm-hmm. This is the Paolo Banchero that I knew all along. In the playoff, Paolo Banchero averages 28 points per game, 7 or 8 rebounds a game, and around 4 or 5 assists in a game. Shoots roughly a little under 40% from three and over 45% from the field. In the playoffs, the game slows down, and you need guys who can go get their own bucket. Now, if you look down each roster, okay, you got Cade Cunningham.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then you see Paolo Banchero can get his own bucket.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Franz Wagner can get his own bucket.
Yep.
Jalen Suggs can get his own bucket.
Absolutely.
Anthony Black can get his own bucket.
Yep.
And then you go to the Pistons side. Mm-hmm. Tobias Harris can get his own bucket.
Yep.
So when you have Tobias Harris as your second option in the playoffs, because in the playoffs, again, like I said, the game slows down. And you have a big man like Jalen Duren who can't stretch the floor and can't create his own shot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He becomes a liability in the game.
Absolutely. Yep.
And we seen that last night.
Indeed.
Wendell Carter Jr., yes, he's a nice high-level role-playing big man.
Yes.
He's not a better basketball player than Wendell Carter Jr.
Okay.
But the skill set that Wendell Carter Jr. has, it's better for the playoff setting than Jalen Duren.
It is.
And you've seen him clearly outperform him.
Mm-hmm.
He's more mobile.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better shooter.
Absolutely.
And I'll go to say that he's a more aggressive finisher around the rim. You see Jalen Duren only took 4 shots last night.
Indeed. Okay. Yep, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Orlando Magic team that we have been waiting for and that people predicted to be a top 4 seed in the NBA this entire year.
Did you write this out?
No. I'm just good at this.
No, you look like you're reading something.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the box score.
Okay, I'm just looking. Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, this is the Magic team that people have been waiting to see all year. But they haven't because the team hasn't been fully healthy since game 13 when I believe Paolo Banchero went out first with injury. Then he came back. Yep. Franz Wagner, since that point, he came out. He got hurt with the injury. And then he came back for a short period of time for the game in Berlin, Germany. Then got hurt again. Mm-hmm. Now he's working his way back again. Anthony Black was on a most improved player / sixth man of the year trajectory. He was going to win something, some type of award this year. Okay. Gets hurt with the back injury late in the season. We go on the 7-game win streak. Then go on a 6-game losing streak. We lose to the Washington Wizards. Lose to the Chicago Bulls. Blow a lead to the Indiana Pacers. You lose to the Phoenix Suns in double overtime to a Jalen Green 3-point shot. Game winner. Mm-hmm. There have been so many things that has really
hurt
the Orlando Magic this season and have changed the trajectory of their season multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the regular season.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's 0-0 now.
Absolutely.
The Pistons have never won a series in the Cade Cunningham era. Yep. The Magic have never won a series in the Paolo Banchero era. Mm-hmm. But the thing that separates them is that the Orlando Magic in the Paolo Banchero era went 7 games to the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2024.
Yep.
Then have mm-hmm. a very competitive 4 games. Was it 4 games or 5 games?
It was 5 games.
And a very competitive 5 games.
It was competitive.
No, it was competitive. If you watched the games, it was competitive.
I didn't get out of hand until the last 3 series. Tatum did.
Regardless, I'm not finished. The Magic have 12 playoff games under their belt. The Pistons have a nice competitive 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually in the 1-8 matchups, it's a season team versus a not season team.
Mm-hmm.
We know who the season team is, the Orlando Magic.
We do.
Can mm-hmm. I can I ask you?
The Orlando Magic have the better player. The Orlando Magic have the best player in the series, and they have the players. They have the best player. In my opinion, I think they have the best player in the series. But players 3 through 4 or 5, they also have the best players. Cade Cunningham, he's exceptional. But however, in the playoffs, when PB has that Jay falling, it's not too many players that are better than him. We've seen him play in the short baseline last night against the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
He had that one hand over the head of Jalen Duren pass. He had another face-up opportunity against Javonte Green, and Jamal Cain was cutting across the baseline. When Paolo Banchero is in certain positions on the baseline, especially on that left-hand side, Paolo Banchero went an exceptional. Hold on. I got to see his shot chart again. He went an exceptional. He went 1-for-1 on the right wing, mm-hmm. 3-for-3 on the short baseline on the mid-range. He went 1-for-2 and 1-for-1 respectively on the free throw line extended and the top of the key mid-range jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing that Paolo Banchero didn't do last night to help his team win. And then also, I've been talking about PB the whole night, or not the whole night, but the whole segment. But Jalen sucks. He came out, set the tone in that game.
Indeed.
Hit a nice late game buzzer beater 3 to at the end of the shot clock, and then I think he hit a second one, but defensively, man,
he was a dog.
He's definitely
the best defender in the series.
Okay,
he is. Right. Oh no.
Yeah, we know Asar Thompson, a defensive player of the year finalist.
Jalen Duren too.
No. Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs is the best defender. You know why? Because he makes loud defensive plays.
He does.
He makes collision breakups. He blocks shots. The Magic are going to win this series, and I firmly trolled at the last episode when I said Magic in 6. That's not even a troll no more. Like, the Magic, 6 is I think it'll go 6 games, and that's like the perfect number. Desmond Bane, this is going to be the worst he's going to be in the series. He came down with an illness yesterday. Obviously, he came through late in the clutch, but 7-for-20 from the field, 1-for-8 from 3, never going to happen again. Franz Wagner, he started the game off a little slow. Fourth quarter, Franz had 11 points in the fourth quarter.
Trim, I have a question.
Go ahead.
May I have my rebuttal?
You're talking a lot, Trim.
Because people were talking so much about the Magic.
May I have my rebuttal?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Josh, wait just a second, because I'm going to ask a couple unbiased questions.
Okay.
Well, you would say that the Pistons are known for having one of the best defenses in the...
So do the Magic.
But would you agree to the Pistons having a good defense?
Their defense is good.
Okay. And you would also, would you agree that PB is one of the most volatile up and down players in the league? Like, high highs, very low lows?
Have you seen him in the playoffs, though?
Not in the playoffs.
I'm just asking.
If you want to talk about the regular season, yes. This is not the regular season.
I didn't ask that. I'm just saying. You would agree to that.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say yeah. I'm objective.
Okay, so do you think the Pistons could force him to have a slow game in this series?
I do. However, the Magic have so many weapons that the Pistons don't have offensively. If Cade Cunningham is to have a bad game, because you would say the Magic have a good defense, right?
Yeah.
So if the Magic somehow find a scheme to slow down Cade Cunningham,
mm-hmm.
how do you think that would look for the Pistons offensively?
They don't have a good offense without Cade.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let Josh.
Let me get myself in. Hey, like I said, I'm a man of my word. As a sport fan, you got to be able to receive the hate and got to be able to, you know,
take
roll
it.
With it. Yeah. Oh. So okay, just to be, I will give you guys your props. Again, it was a great game. Congratulations to Orlando Magic. I love watching Paolo Banchero finally remembering that he's 6'10" and 250 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the paint, getting his mid-range jump shots, driving and getting those tough and one layups.
Yeah.
Proud of Suggs for the good defense that he played. All in all, a great game for the Magic. Magic out-hustled us, and they out-muscled us. I think the biggest thing for the Pistons went into this game with an ego. Pistons thought that, oh, we finally got number one, and it's the Magic. So we're automatically going to steamroll them. Pistons had the wrong mindset. We talked about this before. The playoffs and the regular season are two completely different things. Regular season does not matter when you get to the playoffs. What matters is what can you produce in that seven-game series? Who is going to come out and bark? Who's a dog in this series, and who's the little puppies? Magic proved in game one that they wanted to be dogs. My Pistons need to fight back. Game two, I need to see J.B. Bickerstaff come up with a new plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, it can't just be Cade Cunningham trying to carry his team. Everyone needs to step it up. I need Durant to take more shots. I need to be aggressive mm-hmm. in the paint scoring. I need to be aggressive on the boards. Duncan Robinson, we mainly got you to be a three-point threat. I need you to start knocking down threes. Tobias Harris.
He went 3-for-6.
Indeed. That's not bad. But again, he only had 9 points. We need more out of him. Tobias Harris did good, needing to improve.
He shot 5-for-15.
Jenkins.
1-for-7.
Indeed, Jenkins. I'm getting to that. Jenkins got on my nerves.
He's too little. You can't play him in a series like this.
He is. I need beef.
He had a lot of
hold
shots.
Hold on. Let me continue. Everyone needs to step up. Beef Stew disappointed me the most. I won't lie. Only 3 points, 4 boards, and that's it.
We're going to play him out of this series, too. Yeah,
look,
he had a steal
like
block.
I said, like I said, we will see. Game two, I had the Pistons recovering. Due to how Orlando played, I was already excited for the series. With the way that Orlando played in game one, this is going to be a 7-game series. I still have my Pistons winning in 4. I think it's going to be 4-3, and I think that J.B. Bickerstaff is going to coach up his team to do what's necessary.
Wait, so you have them winning in how many games?
So you got
I got them winning in 7.
Seven?
He said it's going to be a couple things. Guys, couple things.
Go ahead,
JB. Yeah.
One, Bounds, I told you that J.B. Bickerstaff is a terrorist when it comes to playoff coaching. He's horrible. God awful.
I'm just glad we got the name right.
Bro, you can't say that just because of what happened with your Cavs, bro.
No.
Come on, man.
No, I can't. Why would I not?
No, but even
what
then,
are you talking about?
You look back in 2024 when it was Bickerstaff with the Cavs and Mosley with the Magic. There's no reason that series should have went 7 games.
No reason.
Mm-hmm. Offensively,
yeah, that's true.
Offensively, the gap between the teams was insane. You have Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, and I forgot who y'all had at the 3 that year. Was it DeAndre Hunter? It wasn't. No. He wasn't starting at the 3. I think it was Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, Okoro was starting.
But even then, the guard play on that team it should have outplayed us. But since our team was good defensively, and this series is going to remind me a lot of that series. However, offensively, though, I think we have the advantage, and I think that's what's going to separate, and that's what's going to get us to win this
Pistons
series.
Pistons have to have their players on the floor. Like, the thing, when it comes to the playoffs, the Magic, everyone in their starting lineup played 30 plus minutes. Like, putting in that work, we know who our guys are. Ashar Thompson is getting played off the court.
Mm-hmm. He can't shoot.
Duncan Robinson only played 26 minutes.
You know what I'm saying? And then if Jenkins isn't your offense,
man, let Duncan on the floor, man.
You have nothing.
And it seems like
this is why y'all had to make a trade at the deadline. Y'all don't have the offense.
They should have made a move for Larry.
If you're going 7 with the Magic, you're not doing anything in this play. Nothing against the Magic.
No, I understand.
You're the 1 seed, bro. This is supposed to be easy pick.
And I want to say, I feel like I lost the point. I found it real quick. I feel like Bickerstaff doesn't have a trust. He doesn't have a trust. He didn't have trust in his rotations. Because you get Jenkins playing 22 minutes. Asar's playing 25 minutes. He's a starter. He shouldn't be playing. It's the playoffs. You got Ron Holland. He got in here for 10 minutes. It's like he was trying to figure out what to do because Asar couldn't shoot. Duncan Robinson, defensive liability. Jalen Durant. He was trying to get Beast Stew in there as well. Beast Stew was nothing. Outside of that one block he had on Paolo. He was nothing.
Was late.
So it's like, I don't know if he has a trust in his rotations. Hopefully they seem tighter because Jenkins is too small. Javante Green can't guard Paolo Banchero. He tried to throw him on there for a period in the second quarter. It just looked like he was playing with his food. Like what are you doing?
He
can't guard him?
It seems like this will be the series to watch for the rest of the playoffs. But No. It's over with, man. It's up.
Bro, I just want to say two things.
Way over.
Chris has been trying to talk for like 10 minutes.
Bro, we're on hour 10.
It's two quick things. That's it.
Go ahead.
Two quick things. The Pistons have to win, but it needs to be a convincing win. It can't be no close game win. In second, that Jaden Ivey trade is looking worse and worse now.
It is.
That guy, he could have been that another score, y'all know.
Hey, y'all remember what Jaden Ivey said on Live? You remember what he said on Live? Pistons not going to matter on Judgment Day. Let's go, Magic.
All right, let's get to our favorite
Orlando
part.
Magic.
Play the song.
Listen, this brings us to the favorite part of the podcast, the shout-outs, man. I want to shout-out God. I want to shout-out my family. Shout out the guys in the booth. There we go.
Man, shout out to Orlando Magic. We got 10 days, 11 days till graduation.
Yeah, man.
Man.
It's almost out of here, man.
Crazy story. But yeah, shout out God, man. Shout out the Magic. Shout out FAMU. Shout out the Playmakers. We'll be back next week, you know, for the farewell tour episode, you know. Hopefully the Magic up 3-0 by then, hopefully. Just hopefully.
Shout out to God, man. I got a lot of shout outs, so I'm going to try to keep it short. Shout out to everybody in J school, bro. Everybody hard work. If you've never been in J school, like, everybody here actually has crazy work ethic. It's wrapping up end of the year, so everybody, shout out to y'all. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my friends. Shout out to everybody that came out and supported me last week. We doing a lot of things, man. We going up. Make sure y'all check out jbtheking.com, website just posted. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram, socials, all that type of stuff. I don't know if y'all have to cut that. But
we're gonna let it go this time.
Yeah, and that's it, man. Shout out to the guys too.
Don't do that again.
All right, shout out to God. Second, shout out Paolo, James, Banchero, Desmond, Michael Bain, and shout out my mom and dad, and you know.
Shout out to God, shout out to my city, shout out to my family, shout out to Thunder, man. Great 30-point win yesterday.
Hey, gotta give a shout out to God, first and foremost. Shout out to my family. No, shout out to all of you guys in the booth. Thank you for making this fun. Shout out to Michael Trim Jr. You know, I won't lie. It's been great being in the booth with him, you know. Always giving great sport takes. Gonna miss him when he goes, man.
Fellas, do y'all want to bet editing Jamal and Bounds on the next Detroit Magic game? Do y'all want to, like, whoever wins doesn't have to edit?
No.
Yeah, next game is on Wednesday.
No.
I feel like that's a fair game. That's a fair game. That's a fair game.
I feel like, do y'all want to do that? Or because if not, I'll just assign somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, make it that. Since they so confident, but the game's wins, on game two on Wednesday.
I don't care.
That's kind of late in the week.
It'll be okay.
I put all my money on the Magic. I got it, bro. All
right. We'll see.
So
whoever
Josh,
wins.
So Josh versus Jamal?
Josh versus Jamal.
They betting on it?
Yeah.
Who been?
Click the link in our bio if you want to give us some feedback at 905 The Flavor or 905 The Flavor Sports. Please just give us some feedback if you feel like, you know, you love something, you hated something, you know, go let us know about it. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.